Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Welcome to All Paws Pet Talk Ask the Vets. My name is Karen Watts, and I am your host here on the show. And we have today with us Dr. Kathy Alanovi.
And hi, Karen.
Great to have you. And, you know, we normally have Dr. Don Canfer, but he is hiding from us right now. So I'm going to start the show, and it'll be Ask the Vet, singular.
There you go.
For now. You know, we had a lot of questions this week, and the first one is not a veterinary question so much as it's a how do I deal with this question. Buddy, who is, hang on, a two-year-old Springer Spaniel is blind now. He suddenly went blind. On Friday, she noticed him run headfirst into several things, took him to the vet, and he is completely blind. She said it's likely hereditary and that he's been blind for about 3 months, but she did some tests. He tested negative for diabetes and some other test that she can't remember what the name was. But he is blind, and he is still a sweet, happy boy, but she wants to know how she can help him. You know, they have a kennel outside that he goes into, but he'll run into the door if it's shut. And she's wondering if she can scent it with something. And she can scent the doors in the house with vanilla to say this is a door and it's shut, but wonders how she can help him keep from bumping into things, because, of course, it makes her feel worse than it makes him feel.
And I have a blind dog, and so let me share with you everything I do with Lady, because Lady went blind as an adult. Hers was, she has sudden acquired retinal degeneration syndrome, so I would encourage Buddy's parents to do take Buddy to a veterinary ophthalmologist. Make sure everything's checked out, because there's a reason why we have specialists in humans and in animal medicine. So that said, then here's what, so Lady Dog, she's 13 now, and she went blind about 4 years ago. And so, no, we try not to move anything, but I have a 9-year-old. She moves things, and Lady knows how to walk around the house. She has her nose out, and she has her feelers on the end, and she feels. And mm-hmm. she knows, and she bumps, and she goes back, and she starts again. Lady Dog, when she was visual, used to get out of the yard, roam around town, and she'd be gone for hours. Would you believe that being completely, totally blind, she still does that? Every now and then I forget she's out there, she's walking around, and I have to go across town and get her out of the deputy sheriff's yard.
So, well, at least she knows where to go to get you in the most trouble.
She does, exactly. And so I was like, oh, shoot, he's not home, thank goodness. but so there's no scent markers that I've put on. It's her memory. She knows. And so I think Buddy's mom has some great ideas here with scenting with vanilla and stuff. Buddy is really smart, and dogs won't go, I can't see. They'll go, oh, well, I can't see it, so how am I going to find it? And I know the kennel's here, and I know the gate's here, and darn it, I can't get in. The darn thing must be closed. And that's what Lady does. She walks along the side of the house. Here's the door. Darn thing's closed. Well, the gate's right down here. Darn it, it's closed too. But she keeps knocking until we open the door, and I go, oh, yeah, I forgot you, Lady. Sorry. And she comes in. So kudos to Buddy's parents for being worried about these things, and I think they've done wonderful research. I'm not sure all of that is necessary. Allow Buddy to develop his other senses. That would be my suggestion.
And, you know, one of the things, this is a forum member of ours, and we have seen pictures of Buddy since he was a little puppy, and he is a beautiful Springer. And one of the things somebody suggested is putting a bell on her other dog's collar so that she could, you know, he could follow her by sound. But of course, then Buddy and Lolly made a great game of trying to get the bell off of her collar. So that didn't really work. So he is still 100% dog. There's no question of that. You know, our next question is a cat question, and it's, again, it's something Jasmine is, Cassandra is her owner in Dudley, Massachusetts. Cassandra is actually a cousin of mine, and her adopted kitty Jasmine has been with her for a little over 6 months. She's really come out of her shell, plays with Cammy, who is their other cat, comes out when guests are over, and is very social considering how she was when she first came. She wouldn't let anyone touch her. The problem is whenever she gets picked up, she growls. She doesn't scratch or struggle to get down. She just growls. Cassie looked over her from head to toe, couldn't find anything wrong, but her shoulder does make a quote-unquote popping sound sometimes. Sadly, of course, I haven't been able to show it to the vet because it doesn't happen when she's there. Any ideas what she should look for, what the vet should look for next time she takes Jasmine in?
So I guess I take it from, we've got two things going on here. One is the growling when being picked up, and the other is the shoulder popping. So it sounds like Jasmine has a little bit of wildness to her. And I think that's what the growling is just, I want to be free. Growl. Let me go.
Oh, okay. So it's not, I'm in pain.
And that's a really good question. Is it pain? But why would it be only when being picked up? And so that's why I'm taking that more of a, you're restraining me. I am a free spirit. You should let me be free. You're lucky I hang out with you.
Mm-hmm.
but so the shoulder popping thing, then, if you can't get it to recreate in front of a regular vet, the regular vet will say, I don't know, because we don't learn about this in vet school. What we learn about is pathology. So being that you live in Massachusetts and you're a little bit more hip than out here in the boonies of Indiana like I am, you have more alternatives. And that's where I would take little Miss Jasmine would be, let's go to a vet who does chiropractic, because it sounds like there's some looseness in Jasmine's shoulder, a little bit in that joint there, might even be in that biceps tendon. And so it's going pop, and that she's young and everything's loose and stuff. It may just need a little adjustment or something to get things to line back up. There is a possibility of worse, weird things like cartilage defects, developmental orthopedic things tend to be more common in dogs and large breeds and stuff, but cats can get that too. But, you know, a good chiropractor, animal chiropractor, will know, okay, I've got Western medicine as a tool and I've got chiropractic, and so let's rule everything out and see what we can do to make Jasmine feel good.
Well, that's good, because Jasmine, you know, there are big cats and small cats, but Jasmine is not that, you know, she's not a Maine Coon or anything. She's just a pretty little tabby. You know, we are out of time for this segment. Folks, we'll be right back with more of All Paws Pet Talk, Ask the Vet.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Your pet may be sick and not even know it. Your pet may appear healthy, but a vast majority of healthy-looking pets are actually infected with parasites and other infections that do not manifest themselves until they overwhelm the pet and the pet finally appears sick. Sometimes, by then, it is too late. To find out more about how you can help your pet to stay healthy, then go to www.quantumvetcare.com. That's www.quantumvetcare.com. VETCARE.com. www.quantumvetcare.com.
Hey, pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made. And here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. Only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at naturslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So, do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
Welcome back to Ask the Vet here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Now, because we have Dr. Kathy Alanovi with us, and I know she is very interested in pet nutrition and what we feed our animals, this question is just tailor-made. I did not make this up. This is an actual question from one of our members. My cat has an allergy to something, this person says. Her mouth gets irritated and inflamed. We've taken her to the vet, and they said it's just an allergy to something, and it might always just be there. Unless it gets infected or large, we don't need to worry about it, as it doesn't seem to bother her. They told us to feed her in stainless steel bowls and clean them every night. So she threw away the plastic bowl and has been using stainless steel bowls. But this didn't help, so we're thinking she has a food allergy of some sort. I will be changing her food to something grain-free and see if that helps. What food do you suggest? Ingredients aside, how important is protein content? Now, she's done a little research and said, looking at wellness indoor health, crude protein content is less than 30%. Comparing to Purina One Indoor Hairball and Weight Control, which was what I was going to switch to had this allergy not occurred, that has 38% protein. Fat is higher in wellness at 13%, and Purina has 8.5%. Blue Buffalo is higher with the protein 34%, but super high in fat. So she wants to know, you know, what she should look for in protein content, what should she look for in ingredients, and how, what percentages should she look for? In other words, help.
Okay, and you know it can take an hour to answer this question.
Well, that's why I asked it at the top of a segment.
Yeah. First thing I would suggest to do, I want you to go to this website, catinfo.org. CATINFO.org. It's written by Dr. Lisa Pearson. And wow, does she know almost everything that answers about anything about cat food. And so Dr. Lisa has on her site most of the answers to this question. Now, the next thing is that we're clearly looking at dry food here. And so here's the problem with dry food. In order to be dry, it must have at least 30% carbohydrate content. You got to go to Dr. Lisa Pearson's site. What does a cat need to eat? Half protein, half fat. Okay, you can have a tiny little bit of carbohydrates, less than 10%. So pick on a food. Okay, she said Blue Buffalo has 34% protein, but high in fat at 18%. So what does that make the other 52? So the other 48% is carbohydrates. That's where our cats get fat, and that's where if you're trying to be grain-free, you may be grain-free, but you're not carbohydrate-free. And how do we know that your cat isn't allergic to chicken or to sweet potato or to anything else? So grain-free is a start.
And cats don't need carbohydrates, right?
Pardon?
Cats don't need carbohydrates in their diet, right?
They don't need carbohydrates. They need fat. Our society is really well trained to think, oh, fat is bad. It makes you fat. No, actually, carbohydrates make you fat. I can eat fat on my chicken, but if I eat all the bread rolls, that's where I gain the weight, and it's the same for our kitties. Fat is a necessary nutrient for the nervous system to function. So we're trained to think low fat. And then let's talk about these labels. They tell you minimum. They don't tell you actual. So you can go to that wellness that has 13% minimum fat, but what does it have really? So what this kitty, so here are my suggestions on this kitties, and please go to Dr. Pearson's site. There's such great information. First, I would go away from the dry, no more dry at all. Second, stainless steel bowl or possibly ceramic for some of these allergy kitties, and it's the rodent ulcer, eosinophil granuloma complex that she's talking about here, and it's an allergy. Try a ceramic bowl. Try wiping your kitty's chin after she eats, and let's go to at least canned, if not, you know, more work, but at least go to canned. And look at Dr. Pearson's site. It's, yeah, carbohydrates are the killer on our kitties, and so that's where we've got to get away from the dry food.
And, you know, I know we've talked about this before, but I want to mention it now. We're, you know, all the marketing has said, you know, the dry food is great because it cleans their teeth as they eat it. And I want to give you a chance to refute that.
Okay, so I kept my potty mouth closed. But you're absolutely right. So what's caking on their teeth is the carbohydrates from the dry food. This is my daughter eating toast all day. You bet she needs to brush her teeth. If she has chicken and green beans, there's a little less need than when she's eating the cake and the candy. So if your cat's eating meat and just meat, what's going to cake on the teeth? There's nothing to cake on the teeth.
And would you suggest there's any particular protein that she should start with? You know, are cats more likely to be allergic to fish or to chicken, or is it just like me, they could be allergic to anything?
Yeah, you can be allergic to anything. So then if you want another great website to go to Dr. Jean Dodds, Nutriscan, Nutriscan, and she actually has a food allergy or intolerance really panel to test. And so she lists on there what are the top 6 or 8 things that our pets are allergic to. Sure, corn, wheat, soy, but how about eggs, lamb, chicken, beef, and where do these things come from? They're the most common things that our pets eat. So if you eat it commonly, you're more likely to be allergic to it. So sure, you can switch grain-free, but what if we're allergic to chicken or eggs,
right,
or turkey?
You know,
and
I know that's how it worked with me. When I first realized I was allergic to fish, I thought that was the most ridiculous thing in the world. But I'm Swedish, and the first website I came across said...
So genetically, you're predisposed.
Well, yeah, people who eat a lot of something can tend to become allergic to it, and I probably ate more fish in the first 20 years of my life than most people eat in 80 of theirs, so I used up my quotient, I guess.
Burn that one up.
That's right. And is her website Nutriscan.com or .org?
Oh, I'm pretty sure it's .org.
Okay. You know, and I'll let you, if you find out it's not, please email me after the show because I'm going to have these ready so that
.org.
If anybody, okay, if anybody asks
.org.
And didn't write it down while we were talking about it, you can always go to allpawspetalkpettalk.com. That's the website for our radio show. And right there on the homepage, there's a form at the bottom of the page. And if you just ask, you know, what are those websites Dr. Kathy mentioned about looking up for cat food and what I should look at, I can email you with those answers right away. It was catinfo.org and nutriscan.org. But, you know, for if you are in the car, you know, we don't want
that's
you to
right.
total it, trying to write.
Email
write
later.
That's right. Email later, and I will be able to answer it anytime. You know, we are running out of time for this segment, and I promise folks we'll cover more than one question in the next segment, but I knew Dr. Kathy, I knew she could probably do a whole hour show on this question, so we calmed her down to just one segment. Folks, we'll be right back with more All Paws Pet Talk, Ask the Vet.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all 4 paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk, Ask the Vet. You know, now we have a dog question. I have a couple of questions, but the first one is for Kim in Michigan. This is her sister's dog, so her doggy nephew, Seamus. He was feeling poorly, and a trip to the vet discovered he's in liver failure. According to my sister, he's on a liver supplement, and then he'll have his blood retested. Somebody else mentioned milk thistle as something to add to his food to, quote-unquote, detoxify his liver. Would this help? Is this a legitimate thing?
This is an excellent thing to add. And so I'm going to throw some more websites at you because there's an awful lot of good information out there. And if it's there, then let me send you there and you can read and dissect and take it apart. All this great information about liver actually comes from people whose dogs have seizures, and so they're on long-term phenobarbital, which can have liver side effects. And so everybody wants to know, what can I do to help my dog live longer, given that they're on this horrible drug, but it controls the seizures, we're going to have liver side effects, what do we do? And one of them is indeed to give milk thistle. And so we don't know how big Seamus is here, but let's guess, because we don't even know breed.
Yeah, well, she doesn't know breed either. He's kind of a medium-ish, slightly smaller than a lab, if that helps.
See, Seamus in my mind is a lab. So let's pretend he is. And so let's pretend he's a 40 to 70-pound mixed breed dog. And so he would get half of a human dose of milk thistle. So just go to the health food store. So where can you find this, though? I always type in, because I never have my bookmarks, I type in Dr. Jean Dodd's Liver Cleansing Diet. But the one I always get, canineliverdiseasefoundation.org. And then it's got a whole bunch of stuff after it. And I'm going to send this link to you, Karen, so that you've got that to tell people when they call and say, where the heck is that? But again, Dr. Jean Dodds, I'm a fan of her. I have a couple of other colleagues who are just incredible geniuses, and Dr. Dodds is one. What she has researched is, let's also do this for Seamus. So not only add milk thistle to his food, but, you know, okay, I can't help it. Food. Let's change his food. What's going to detoxify his liver? Cod and potatoes. You'll do 50-50 white potatoes and sweet potatoes. And then you'll do 2/3 potato mixture, 1/3 cod. That is your liver detoxification food. Small meals broken up throughout the day. Four meals is better than two. And do milk thistle. Now, if Seamus were actually a Yorkie and he were in the 5 to 10-pound range, he'd get 15% of the human milk thistle. Can he get extra without harm? You bet. And if Seamus were, what if we call him a 120-pound Rottweiler? Then let's give him the full human dose. And if he's an English Mastiff, double the human dose. So
right.
All kinds of things to do for this baby. And, yeah,
and how does the milk thistle work? How does it detoxify the liver?
Oh, who knows? No. There's good detoxification. So that's the liver's job. We eat food. All that stuff gets digested, and all the blood goes from the intestines through the liver. And the liver starts tagging things and shunting things. And, okay, this goes to the trash, and this one's going to go over here, and we're going to do this. And so everything gets all these different appendages put on them in the liver, and the liver gets burned out in a detoxification pathway. It has 6 or 7 different detoxification pathways. Milk thistle, as far as we know, the active component is called silymarin, and it goes into one of those detoxification pathways to help the liver work better. It's not the only detoxification pathway. That's why there are other liver-supportive medications that can help. There's some vitamins and that sort of thing, and holistic vets will be able to help with that. But milk thistle is a great place to start. And then, you know, let's have some cod and sweet potato.
I'm sure, well, you know, Seamus is quite a love dog, so I'm sure if he gets to eat what he considers is mummy's food, he will be perfectly thrilled.
That's right.
Now, I have a question that was asked. This is actually a question I have. This is one of, you know, because I run a website for dogs, I get sent all these emails of, you know, 100 facts about dogs. And this one I saw on a list, and it made me question the whole validity of the list. And it's always good to be skeptical of things you see online or things you get in email. Puppies are sometimes rejected by their mother if they are born by C-section and cleaned up before giving back to her. Now, is that true? It doesn't seem like it would make any sense to me.
Yeah, wow. And so based on my experience, I have seen some C-section dogs who are like, get it away. And I'm not sure, is it because it's cleaned up and doesn't smell right? And so on those dogs, we actually have taken the discharge coming out of her back end and wiped it all over the puppy. Sometimes that helps, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes with after C-section, no matter how good your pain control is, you still want that mother to wake up, and you don't want residues so that her milk doesn't have sleepy-making stuff in it to make the puppy sleep. So, you know, they tend to have a little less pain control than a dog just undergoing like a normal ovarohysterectomy. So maybe it's pain and they say, get it away from me. It's going to hurt.
Right.
I've also seen dogs that when they've had trouble having the puppies, refuse the puppies. And so I'm not convinced that it's because of the C-section. I think something's not right in the whole mothering instinct thing. And is it because of the C-section? Is it because of pain? Or is it because of something in their head? The instinct isn't there, because it's not just C-section dogs. And you'll have some dogs who they have a litter of puppies and they walk away. All on
right.
their own, no problem. And cats do that too, and they walk away. And what's wrong with them? Their mother instincts are wrong, and they shouldn't be allowed to have babies anymore.
You know, that's something that I don't think, you know, people put this idealization on animals that, you know, every cat is a born mother or every dog is a born mother. And that's not true any more than it is true in human beings. You know,
right.
Just the fact that you can get pregnant doesn't mean you have any mothering instinct whatsoever or know
right.
what to do with this creature that you have, you know, had a part in creating.
Yes. Do I have to take care of this for the rest of its life or until it's 18? I mean, 6 weeks old?
That's right. You know, I have a human friend who once, when her, you know, had grown children, and she was here in Massachusetts, and her son was 28 years old, living in California with a wife who loved him, and he was sick, and she said, "This is ridiculous. I'm worried about him. You know, I don't know if I would have had children had anybody told me it's not from birth till they go off to college. You're going to be a mother for the rest of your life."
You are stuck. Yes, and some of our pets aren't really as into it as others.
Right, and like some humans aren't as into it as others either. We are running out of time for this segment. We will be right back with more All Paws Pet Talk, Ask the Vets.
Is your pet eating too fast? Well, we have the healthy solution. IQ is the perfect solution to help your cats and dogs lead a better life. With their new patented design, their bowl will make your dog and cat live a culinary experience by having them eat like nature intended. Having to play with their food not only reduces the chance that they have weight problems, but will also let them enjoy the chase, like they would in nature. Designed by a veterinarian technician, this bowl was acclaimed by veterinarians and behaviorists around the world and won Becker's Best in Show at the Global Pet Expo in 2012. Get one for your cats or dogs today at your local store or online at AIKIOU.com. That's AIKIOU.com.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
Welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk, Ask the Vet. You know, we lots of times have dog questions and cat questions. Well, today, Dr. Kathy's website, if those of you who don't know it, is hoofstockvet.com. So we have a hoofed animal question for her. Now, this
Yay.
Is a goat. I know your life isn't all dogs and cats. But those of us who live in city areas are more likely to have a dog than we are to have a goat. But this is a question from somebody in Texas who has goats of her own. One of my bucks has really flaky skin since he started to shed about 2 months ago. I've shaved him. I've poured on ivermectin, permethrin, Baycox, and wormed him. He has had 2 baths with Dawn dish soap. He does look better, but it's still flaky. So what is it so that I can treat it? The other bucks that are with him have shiny, good-looking coats. Any questions? And just for our radio listeners, I was able to send Dr. Kathy a picture so she could see what this, and it's helpful because he happens to be a black goat and the flakes are white, so it's very easy to see. So
yeah, and it's a good picture because it shows that it is more dandruffy than lice, which is the reason why she did the ivermectin and the permethrin, I forget what Baycox is, and then dewormed him. So because worms can make dry skin. But you know what? If you do Dawn dish soap too much, that can make dry skin too. So, you know, it's good because it gets rid of fleas, but then it also makes some dry skin. So if this were my client, I'd have to ask a pile more questions, unfortunately, like how old is the buck? Is he one of the strong ones? Is he one of the weak ones? When was breeding season? Because I don't know the breed, and some of them breed twice a year and some are once a year. So whether or not he's actively hormonal right now because there are women around and they need him to do his work or what it is. So she's done the basics. She's tried to get rid of lice, and she's tried to get rid of intestinal worms. And it may depend on what's tough in goats is there aren't a lot of intestinal dewormers left on the market. And you get to the point where you do the same one long enough and the worms and the goats think that the dewormer is candy and they don't die. So that could still potentially be an issue, and she might want to grab a stool sample and bring that to her vet and have them look and see, do we have still a worm burden or not? Things to try. So some of it may depend on hay quality, although I see in the background of the picture there's green stuff there, so I'm hoping that we're actually out on fresh grass and that she hasn't turned to brown pastures yet. That's going to help. I would actually try feeding him, like, oats from the kitchen, because the crazy thing is, just like in us humans, dandruff, dry skin on the outside comes from dry on the inside, and stress will also do that. So when I'm particularly stressed, I'll look in the mirror and go, oh, I have dandruff, make it go away. And then my stress goes away and I no longer have dandruff.
as long as you don't get overly stressed out by the dandruff, there'll be a vicious cycle.
Well, that's true. And that'll make it worse. And so I try not to obsess. but so if it's in the middle of breeding season, he may be stressed. Or if he's dominant but older and one of the other bucks are challenging him, or if he's weak and they're challenging him, any of these things could give him stress. So he may need separate cuddle the old guy goat pen, you know, depending on how old he is.
All her other bucks, she said, have a nice, shiny, good-looking coat, it's probably not something contagious.
Right, exactly, which she's already taken care of. So how about some flax seed in the diet? That would be a nice omega fatty acid. And again, I think it sounds like this guy just needs a little extra TLC for whatever reason. And so he just may need his own separate hangout spot.
And a little pampering for him. You know,
why
okay,
not?
why not? That's right. That's right. Now, I do have another dog question. Kay Lynch says, we have a 1.5-year-old lab mix that we rescued. She is afraid of loud noises, mainly from trucks. We live right next to an expressway, so there are a lot of trucks around. But in the last 3 to 4 days, she will not walk outside. Now, this is not a Yorkie-sized dog. It's a lab mix. We have to carry her to the door. She will walk out once the leash is on, but she'll start shaking and try to run back inside. She will only stay out if she needs to eliminate, but then she tries to run right back inside. Up until this point, she loved going for walks, but now it seems like she just wants to stay indoors. She'll run around in the apartment and play inside with us, but is scared, distracted, and overwhelmed outside. What can I do?
Oh, this poor baby. The hard thing with rescue dogs is we don't know what their history is, and this poor thing may just have been terrified by loud noises. And so she may have some basically post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So behavior training, and you could work with a pet trainer, but reinforce her for every time she does it right and understand that who the heck knows, maybe she was stuck in a culvert with trucks going overhead and just scared to bits and that's why she can't stand the noise anymore, or who knows. So reinforce every time she does a good job, really praise her for it, and ignore the fear because that builds on the fear. You could go as extreme as if you were to go to a Western vet, they'd say, oh, we need doggy Prozac. And doggy Prozac may help reduce her anxiety. It may not. And there's all sorts of drug testing that you have to do, blood.
If we could resolve this without going to the drugs, you know.
Right. So how about rescue remedy? May help, may not. There are some homeopathic remedies, and if Dr. Carol were here, she'd have them on the tip of her tongue. I'm not quite as good at the homeopathy as her, but there are some remedies that are great for loud noises. And so consult with a homeopath or get a hold of Dr. Carol, and she'll give you some suggestions there.
But behavior-wise, as you said, you know, making going outside a positive experience. And being as it's a lab mix, you know, maybe a tennis ball would be a good association even more than food.
Distraction. I love that. Food treats. She's a lab. Distraction. Tennis ball. Beautiful. Go outside when there's less expressway noise. Don't go during rush hour. You know when it's quieter. You know, Sunday about 10 o'clock in the morning, everyone's either sleeping or they're in church. Perfect time to go have some positive reinforcement outside. Yeah, baby steps. Baby steps, and then, you know, everything you can do to make her feel good. When she does it right, praise her. Don't yell at her for being a neurotic thing and running inside. There's a reason for her neurosis.
That's right. You know, my dad, my very first dog in life was a dog who came to us as an adult, and she was terrified of thunderstorms. And my dad would say, you know, you don't know what she went through. The vet thought when we brought her in for the first time that she had had a litter of puppies, and she was obviously a stray when she did. So, you know, if you associate being in a thunderstorm with trying to save your puppies from this horrible, horrible, noisy event, you know, that's going to scare you for a long time to come.
Yeah.
So that's when Sheba was allowed to be up in the big bed with my parents when there were thunderstorms in the summertime.
Good.
You know, we are, again, running out of time for this segment. We will be right back with more All Paws Pet Talk. Ask the Vet.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk, Ask the Vets. Now, I have another goat situation, goat question for you, Dr. Kathy. And I know that you're fine with hoofed animals. And this is a little bit of a sad one. My friend's goat had four kids, and they all came out deceased. The first one, she never took the birth sac off, so I understood that one. But when I got there, the third one was just out, pulled the sack off the fourth one, never could even get the last two to move. They were just dead when they were born. I was told she miscarried her first time, and this was her second litter. She never even tried to clean them. After she was done, she got up and went to her food. Any idea what could have happened, what could go wrong with an otherwise healthy goat?
Well, again, we don't know things about this girl, like what she's eating, vaccine status. I've had goat owners who the goats abort because they got a bacterial infection in their uterus. But, you know, she's describing here goats that came to term. So it's possible that they all had a genetic defect. What if everything that she's producing isn't working right, and so just before they're born, the body says, ooh, this is not going to work, and it's not going to survive, so let's terminate it now. You know, double check on vaccine status. They should be, goats should be dewormed twice a year for CD&T, which is Clostridium. T is the tetanus that we're, the rest of us are familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
With four babies in there, sometimes it's hard to have enough nutrition, and that's really challenging for the goats. So it could.
That was something I wondered about, because four seems like a very large litter for a, you know.
It's a big little herd there. Yeah, so they can have pregnancy toxemia, and so this is like human women who become diabetic during pregnancy. And so the body can once again go, oh, need to save mom and abort the babies so that mom stays alive and we don't lose them all.
Now, should she avoid breeding this goat in the future, or?
I would. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think her odds are very good. She's had two bad shows, and it just, yeah, she can be a pet. Goats are fun pets. Let's have her be a pet.
Yes, you know, we were driving down the roadside. We have had a lot of rain in the New England area lately, and so all the weeds on the side of the road are really, really growing really fabulously well. And I said, well, wouldn't it make sense to, you know, just have a herd of sheep or maybe goats to, you know, go along and trim the grass? And my husband said, are you kidding? All the goats would be like, I'm being on the top of that pile. None of the
that
grass.
That would be fun, trim. Though. That'd be the new lawn mowing service to change the whole jobs for the state.
That's right,
protocol.
You know. That's actually what they do at a sewage control facility out in the middle of Massachusetts. It's right off the turnpike, and they have sheep that wander around. And when they first got just the sheep that just wander around on their own, it's a fenced-in facility, of course, they worried that dogs would get in, so they now have geese. And the geese will protect the sheep from the dogs, and the dogs are all afraid of the geese, and for good reason. You know, if you've ever been clocked on the nose by a goose.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, my next topic is one, it's kind of a sad topic, but it came up in the news yet again, and it happens every year. And this was a canine officer in Georgia. His dog, his, you know, the canine itself, not the human, was left in the car and died of heat stroke. And it just always amazes me that people don't know that it's such a danger to dogs.
Well, and what's hard is, so when we first started talking about this season, we were talking about it 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it was cool. It was 70 degrees outside. It's not that hot, but it was a bright, sunny day. And had I rolled my windows up and left my dog in the car and 20 minutes later come out, it would have been 110 degrees in the car. And that's what doesn't make sense, because you step out and go, ooh, that's cool, that's comfy, it'll be okay. It doesn't take much. It's a furnace in there. We've had, how about, I have an acquaintance who last summer was really on a tirade about this, but he had one of those infrared heat sensors. And on a day when, you know, it was 90 degrees outside, not that hot, he did the sensor of the asphalt. It was 148. Can you imagine mm-hmm. what that would do to your foot pads? That's crazy. So we just don't think of it in dog sense. We think of it in people sense, and it doesn't translate. It doesn't keep our pets safe.
And that's right. And especially, you know, in a squad car tends to be dark blue or black. And so that, as well as all those windows letting in all that heat.
Right. Just, and you can't leave the windows rolled down in your squad car because you've got valuables in there, including the dog.
Yeah. Right, including the dog. And it just, it's so heartbreaking when this happens. And I also see people with, you know, the window open maybe an inch and a half, and I'm thinking, that's not enough.
That works for 5 minutes. I'll let you run into the bank for 5 minutes like that, and that's about it. Yeah, any longer, it's not enough. Nope, there's no airflow.
And you think, well, you know, there'll be a cross breeze. Well, if there's no breeze, that air is just going to sit there and it heats up and it heats up. If you think of, if you've ever walked into a greenhouse on a sunny day,
right,
you know, it gets so hot. And so,
what do people do?
You know, it's,
yeah,
don't leave your dog in the car.
Okay, so if you walk into a parking lot and somebody doesn't know all this and has done that, then what do? So first go into the store and see if you can get them to page people. And I did this once years ago. I ended up waiting in the parking lot for an hour because the man wasn't listening to the overhead thing. And then he argued with me about whether or not it was okay. Luckily, his dog was alive when he got there, and he got there before the cops did because I had called them. But I think it depends on your state. In Indiana, it has been deemed acceptable that if you can't get the owner to come out, break the window. Well, that's pretty serious. So I mean, this cop's dog is dead, and there's thousands of dollars invested in that dog. You know, it's not just this is sad for the poor dog, but there's $50,000 to $100,000 invested in that dog, and that is dead now.
And if it can happen to a canine officer with a lot of experience, you know, it's something. Just be aware. Don't leave your pet in the car. You know, cat, dog, rabbit. I know a rabbit who died of heat stroke because its cage was left in a glassed-in porch for an afternoon, and it's like, you know, it's a greenhouse.
Right. And this is why we don't put fish and lizards, iguanas, their tanks don't go up in front of the window. They go the other end of the room because it's that same furnace.
And, you know, especially with some of these animals, they can't, you know, dogs don't sweat like we do. They pant and they can sweat on the pads of their feet, but they don't sweat like humans do. And we forget. And of course, they're sitting there in a fur coat.
Yeah. Yeah. And then their sweat, they're panting, which is really humid. Cause have you ever smelled the pant?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's hot. It's wet. And they're making it hotter in the car.
That's right. So the lesson for this week is, don't leave your dog in the car. Don't leave your dog in the car. Don't leave your dog in the car. And with that, believe it or not, Kathy, we are out of time for this week.
Wow.
So
next time
we'll talk about more, and we'll be back with more All Paws Pet Talk Ask the Vets.
Animal Talk, and me, Deb Wolf, your host, flying solo again today. Dwayne's not here. I don't know if it has something to do with the record rainfall they got in Vernon, BC, where he lives. I doubt it. But they did get record rainfall. So much in one day, too. An inch more than they've ever had, ever. And it's still not as much as we're getting here over in Vancouver. So, yeah, having trouble feeling sorry for you people in the sunny places in the world when you get a lot of rain. But we're talking to Stacy today, Stacy Mantle from Pets Weekly. Speaking of sunny places, welcome to the show, Stacy from Arizona.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, right now I'm seeing a darkened office so I can avoid the heat.
Well, I'm in a darkened office too, but all my blinds are drawn. It's just the sky isn't. You know what? On the way to school today, 8:30 in the morning, I'm driving the kids about 8:15. And we stopped, turned around, and stopped the car because we actually saw an owl. You know, now that's
wow. Cool
and everything, but it's so darn dark here that even the owl was out at 8:30 in the morning. Terrible.
Wow. Our sun comes up at around 4 a.m., so we're ready for a break.
Wow. Yeah, well, the thing here is we get really, really long days this time of year, so I think the owls are kind of shortchanged for their nighttime. So they, on a gray day, they'll come out. But, okay, so I am not, I can't believe I'm even saying this, but I am not caught up on True Blood. It started again without me realizing it, and I tuned in to work out in front of it thinking I was catching a rerun, and it was an all-new one, and I'm so behind. But it seemed like there's some pretty interesting things going on with that wolf pack, I gotta say, Stacey.
Oh, there's some really interesting things going on. You know, I mean, we've got, and oh my gosh, I can't believe I forgot his name. He's my most favorite wolf actor.
Alcide.
Well, yeah, he's kind of coming into his own in this show. So I'm really happy to hear about that. You know, he's starting to kind of take over again and earn his way back into the pack. Cause you remember he was, thrown out or abjured from the pack last season. So he's starting to kind of make his way back in, and that means a lot of airtime for him.
Well, yeah, he's also right now, strangely enough, on ice cream commercials right now, tons of them. And he's quite striking looking. But you know what? As good looking as he is as a human, what a good looking wolf they've picked to play him in the series. And
beautiful.
I noticed they're consistent. I noticed they don't mess around. One wolf is always the same werewolf. They don't switch them around and interchange them like they're not individuals. It's pretty cool, actually.
It is. It's really neat how they've thought it out, and each wolf looks different. And, you know, if you really pay attention, I mean, these wolves are making $500 a day shooting these movies. So they're not doing too bad for themselves. I think it's good that they step up and really get it done. And, of course, you know, I love the wolves in it. And, you know, we're coming up on the supermoon this week. Did you hear about that? The supermoon?
No.
When the moon is the highest point in the sky, well, it's the biggest that it will be this year. So there's going to be like howlings, people that are going to go out and howl at the moon because it's
the dogs will
week.
Be going.
Yeah. So
the wolves,
I think it'll be
the coyotes, everybody's going to be loud. Oh, man. Absolutely. The other day we had a guest in that was an ordinary lab, but she has a little bit of a barking problem, and she decided to get everyone going. And unfortunately for me, we had a basset hound, a couple of hound dogs down at the kennel, Camp Good Dog, and it was just all night howling and singing, and oh, my goodness, it was such a relief when she went home because she seemed to be the instigator. Some of these dogs, they just can't help but join in. If you've got a bunch of humans howling to the moon, you're going to have a bunch of dogs howling to the moon, I'm sure.
It's going to be a noisy night, yeah. So that's coming up on June 23rd, and it's the time when the moon is the biggest that it will appear the biggest that we've seen. Largest full moon of the year.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay, so that's True Blood. I want to know more, but don't tell me because I will see them. It seems like the wolf pack, though, the way that the Alcide's partner, his she-wolf, the way she's behaving is quite unconventional by human standards, and I can't wait to see the rest. I've only seen minutes of the show. I was so unfortunate.
It's going to be interesting to see how all this plays out because, yeah, there's some interesting dynamics coming up, and definitely not true wolf pack nature, but, you know, we're dealing with werewolves and everybody has their own thing, so...
I miss Debbie Pelt as a wolf. I miss the little white wolf. She was the smallest of them all, and I miss her. I miss that dog wherever she went. But okay,
I miss
so we're
the
off
dog.
True Blood.
Not so much her.
Yeah, that's true. So we're off True Blood. Let's get to what's going on at PetsWeekly.com right now.
Well, we got a lot going on. We're talking a lot about camping, how to keep your pets calm. You know, this week is Take Your Pet to Work Week, so we've been talking a lot about that. Some games that you can play with your pets while you're at the office. Hopefully you have an office that allows that and get some good playtime in. So actually The Honest Kitchen came up with some fun games that they created that you can pass along in videos and come up with some fun ideas on how to present that at the office. So take your pet to work.
I think a good office will let this happen, and they'll be surprised at how much productivity improves. You know, really, people are more engaged, more social, nicer to each other when animals are around, and they get a lot more done. So some offices may change their minds about this. But for me, Bring Your Dog to Work Day really doesn't make any difference because my work is Camp Good Dog. So it's all doggy all the time.
Same with me. I mean, every day is Take Your Dog to Work Day. But yeah. And I think that's why we're a lot happier people in general.
I should take a cat one day. Take a cat to Camp Good Dog. No, that wouldn't be very nice. So, okay, so what have you got on your site for cats right now?
Well, actually, one more thing on pets in general, because we just uploaded a new graphic for people that are home. You know, the kids are out of school right now, and it's really important to make sure that you have the safety built in there with your pets, because just because your dogs know what's going on and your kids know what's going on with the dog, it doesn't mean that other neighborhood kids are going to know what's going on. So there's some safety considerations that we uploaded a graphic for that people can download and put into their home. And it's written in kid-friendly language, so everybody understands it, lots of graphics, and just teaches them safe practices around any animal. So I think that's a really good option for people to, or a good resource for everybody to access. So since everybody's
home from school right now. When you talk about, oh, we only have a minute left. Well, I'll have to do this in the next segment. I'm going to give some safety tips for traveling with your pets. Things like avoiding antifreeze spots on the driveways of gas stations and making sure you flush through a well when you go visit a cabin or a cottage in case there's chemicals in there. Well, we'll talk about that with Dr. Carol because she'll be with us next. So for now, Stacey, I have to say goodbye to you until next week. What do you want to leave them with? PetsWeekly.com.
PetsWeekly.com. Come visit us. We've got lots of great things for you there. Thanks so much.
And you were saying about Game of Thrones, something to do with that. So if you're into that, check out PetsWeekly.com. Okay, thanks a lot, Stacey. Talk to you in a week. Be good to your animals. Well, we know she will. Stay tuned, everybody, to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk.
I'm your doggy, and I love you. And you know that I really do.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
Your pet may be sick and not even know it. Your pet may appear healthy, but a vast majority of healthy-looking pets are actually infected with parasites and other infections that do not manifest themselves until they overwhelm the pet and the pet finally appears sick. Sometimes, by then, it is too late. To find out more about how you can help your pet to stay healthy, then go to www.quantumvetcare.com. That's www.quantumvetcare.com. www.quantumvetcare.com.
Hey, pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made. And here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. Only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at naturslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So, do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
Hello, you're back on Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk with Deb Wolf. And today we've got Dr. Carol, as always. She's coming to me, joining the show to give you your answers about diet, nutrition, health, and your vet advice. Ask the doctor. Ask us here. Dr. Carol, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Deborah. I'm delighted to join you.
You know, last week we were talking about this rogue cougar that was out, you know, killing farm animals. And I was asking you what makes a cougar rogue and joking about how he maybe has a mustache and stuff like that. And then, so, okay, we got off the show and I thought, you know what? I will be good about this. I will look it up. I will find out what a rogue cougar is. So I looked up rogue cougar and I don't like this definition at all. The rogue cougar is a woman Sexual appetite and lust for men has no bounds. Okay, clearly I'm in the wrong section. So I keep looking and I keep looking. Honest to God, I can't find the definition of a rogue cougar. Nothing, nothing. I've got cougars of all kinds about women who frequent bars and all this other stuff, tight jeans, it's a, you know, nothing on the real cougar. So I did some wildlife here, and I found out that a rogue cougar is considered rogue if it acts in a way that's not ordinary for its species. And in a cougar's case, that means too tame with people and killing but not eating, killing for the sake of killing, which this cougar was doing both. So now I know what a rogue cougar is, but you sent me on such a chase there, Dr. Carroll.
Well, I don't think anyone's going to forget what a rogue cougar is now.
Yes, yes, it's a cougar not acting like it ought to. Okay, erase the rest from your mind. So we had a question for you about bananas. This lady says her dog wants to eat the bananas. It wants to eat the peel and the banana. They're in the fruit basket, and it keeps raiding the fruit basket. Now, I don't think the peel's a good idea because it might have pesticides on it. But what about the banana itself? Is that okay for the dog, Dr. Carroll?
You know, bananas and most other kinds of fruit in general are just fine for dogs. Remember that fruit contains sugar. The good thing about bananas, they've got potassium too, which is wonderful. But with excess sugar, if we get crazy and feed too many bananas, you're going to get some gastrointestinal problems. You might get some diarrhea. You might get some gas. Have some excess bacterial fermentation. So, yes, bananas are great. They've got great amino acids, electrolytes, minerals, vitamins B6 and vitamin C, along with potassium, fiber, and manganese. So, yes, you get a lot of nutritional bang for your buck, but because of the sugar content, use them sparingly. It's a great treat for a working or an athletic dog. But don't get too crazy with bananas.
What about like a pregnant dog or a nursing mom? Because I know when I was pregnant and I had cramps in my legs at night, the midwife told me to drink milk with bananas before bed. And that took away the leg cramps. So do you think it's something that would be good for a pregnant dog or a nursing dog?
Once again, I think that as a snack given every now and then occasionally, a couple mm-hmm. pieces of banana now and then, I think it's beautiful. Giving okay. your dog 3 or 4 or 5 bananas a day is way overkill. So again, most things, fruit in general is great, except avoid grapes because for some reason we've been told that they cause kidney failure, although no one can pinpoint exactly why that happens. So bananas, berries, melon, all those things, oranges, apples, they're wonderful. But remember that it's all sugar, so it's a snack, less than 5% of the total daily diet given occasionally. And if you do get a little bit of GI upset, you get a little gassy, remember that probiotics, those friendly lactobacillus bacteria,
yogurt,
just what your dog needs, or a little bit of organic yogurt, which contains the live lactobacillus bacterial cultures, replenish the colon with those good friendly bacteria that absorb the digested nutrients instead of making a lot of gas and a big bloated belly.
Okay, that sounds great. Okay, now there's a related question. I think you sort of already answered it, but maybe not directly. Cucumbers. Somebody has written in from New Jersey to say their dog eats the cucumbers out of the garden. So they've had to fence off the garden, but it makes her wonder, should she just give her dog cucumbers?
Cucumbers are wonderful, low-calorie, high-fiber treats. Most dogs love them. They make good treats. They're great mixed in homemade diets. No problem at all with cucumbers. Again, when it comes to the skin because of pesticides,
maybe peel or wash.
I would be more comfortable peeling away the skins, but what's inside is wonderful.
Yeah, as it's just occurring to me as I read these questions, there's a couple almost the same, but one about cats and melon, that these people, it's almost like their pets are trying to show them what they want. Is this common? Like, how far does this go? Do dogs or cats self-medicate with herbs or something?
You know, I don't think that we're dealing with a self-medication issue. I think, quite honestly, what it is that for years and years and years, both veterinarians and pet owners alike have been dictated to by the pet food giants regarding what to feed, when to feed it, why to feed it, and how much to feed it. Unfortunately, the fact of the matter is, when it comes to dogs, dogs are physiologically very, very similar to humans. Most of the foods that we eat are just fine for your dog. Certainly, there are exceptions that everyone is quite familiar with: onions, garlic, raisins, grapes, etc., etc. And most of those products do not kill your dog. They might make your dog a little bit sick. In most cases, it's not a big concern. When it comes to cats, cats, unlike dogs and people, are obligate carnivores, or in English, cats were designed to eat meat. So if your cat, you know, enjoys, you know, some alfalfa sprouts, a little taste of a cucumber, a lick of a piece of melon, some nice white asparagus tips, some creamy corn, that's fabulous. And it's absolutely fine for your cat.
Okay, well, there is a question here that's a little odd. And it's from my daughter, actually. She wants, yeah. Well, she's been asking me why her favorite cat, Lion, does this. And what he does is when she has melon, usually cantaloupe, and I scoop out the inside part with the seeds and I put it aside for my chickens, he will try to get it to the point where now I just take a little bit and put it in a dish for him. He doesn't eat it. And he makes a real icky, yucky face, like he's tasting the worst thing in the world, but he is drawn to it like a magnet. Every time the melon's out, it's the smell or something. He goes running for it, and then he licks it and makes this icky, icky face, and then licks it and makes an icky, icky face. And she thinks it's so funny, you know. Why does he do that?
Well, it sounds to me like he's having a good time exploring something that he doesn't really care for, but he enjoys playing with. So just like kids, pets play with their food too. They don't always eat it, but they enjoy playing with it, and there's nothing wrong with playing with something to increase familiarity, to get used to the texture, the smell, etc. And before you know it, your kitty will be eating cantaloupe, which again, is a treat. It's sugary, and it's healthy, and it's fine, and it's wonderful.
Okay. All right, everybody. Well, we only have 30 seconds. We've got to go to commercial, but don't worry. We'll be back with Dr. Carol right now, right now. And I'm going to ask her about rats. Yeah, it gives me the shivers just thinking about it. But I am. Okay, everybody, stay tuned on All Paws Pet Talk to Smart Animal Talk with Deb Wolf. We'll be back with Dr. Carol.
And anytime you're near, I love you.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all 4 paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Is your pet eating too fast? Well, we have the healthy solution. IQ is the perfect solution to help your cats and dogs lead a better life. With their new patented design, Their bowl will make your dog and cat live a culinary experience by having them eat like nature intended. Having to play with their food not only reduces the chance that they have weight problems, but will also let them enjoy the chase, like they would in nature. Designed by a veterinarian technician, this bowl was acclaimed by veterinarians and behaviorists around the world and won Becker's Best in Show at the Global Pet Expo in 2012. Get one for your cats or dogs today at your local store or online at AIKIOU.com. That's AIKIOU.com.
Hello, you're back on Smart Animal Talk with All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And it's a rainy day in Vancouver. It's pouring, pouring rain. I opened up the paper the other day, and there's this picture. It's horrible. Well, to me, it's horrible. I have one of these little automatic natural shutters when I think of rats and certain bugs. But it's rats. Rats problem getting worse. They used to say there was 80 rats to every person in London, England, and now it's supposed to be 180 to every person in Manhattan. Oh, so the rat problem in Vancouver is getting worse. Dr. Carroll, should we be worried?
Well, now, are we talking about fancy rats, which are wonderful pets, or are we just talking about rodent kind of rats?
Oh, no, we're not talking fancy at all. No, no, no. We're talking about the... Here, I'll read you one story, okay? I went to the Great Gatsby opening night at a downtown theater. It was packed. I was forced to take a seat in the upper balcony against the wall. The movie was pretty good until I noticed a shadow scurrying along the carpeted wall where my right shoulder was resting. I didn't clue in that it was a rat crawling along the wall till it was no more than half a meter from my head. I now have a slight fear of watching a movie at a theater. And that's from a guy named Matthew who wrote into the paper. I have like five of these. Apparently, they're all over the poshest, fanciest, and most crowded parts of downtown Vancouver.
Well, not only are they in Vancouver, there's approximately 28 million rats living happily in New York City, and that's more than three rats for each person.
Oh, that's horrible.
That? Yes, that
that's
is
horrible.
That
Here
is
it says,
horrible.
There's this guy who writes, Yaletown, it's funny that where some of Vancouver's richest wine and dine is home to the majority of Vancouver's rat problem. Ask anyone that works in a Yaletown kitchen and you will see rats so big you'd think that there were steroids in the water. In reality, they live off seafood, steak, and asparagus. And I bet it's the same in Manhattan. I bet you're having your extremely expensive dinner and you don't know what's going on behind the restaurant.
Well, you know, you're absolutely correct. And according to New York City Health, the New York City Health Department, there are five steps that can help to keep rats away from your property. Would you like to know what they are?
Yes, please. Cats. Cats.
All
right. It's got to be cats.
All right. First of all, you got to take a good look at your property. Number two, you have to clean up any droppings or tracks that the little rodents may have left behind. You can starve them by using plastic or metal cans with very tight lids, obviously keeping the food away and away from their, so that they don't have access to it. You need to be sure to shut them out by sealing any cracks or holes in your particular residence. And then be sure to put down some rodent bait to take care of any that might remain.
It sounds like a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
It's not going to work, is it, if you're in an area that's infested? Aren't they just going to come back? I mean, I have a chicken coop, so I have constant grain and big feeders that are hung from ropes for the chickens. And so you have a rodent population at any time of year. There are going to be little mice and little rodents and things on the farm. But I also have a lot of cats, and that's on purpose. And the cats are in the house mostly where the rats don't want to be. You know, I still have to use poison, though. I still have to do things beyond just have cats.
Well, you're right. The cities, for example, in Hong Kong as well as Washington, D.C., people have been banned from taking food as well as beverages on their subway ride to work. Those are very simple things that you can do to try to prevent rats. And to get rid of them, obviously, is a huge deal. And why is that so important, other than that they're kind of nasty and yucky? what kind of diseases are you at risk for? Hantavirus pulmonary syndrome is a rare but potentially deadly disease transmitted by the infected rats through their urine droppings as well as their saliva. Murine typhus, worldwide problem, rare in the U.S., but it is transmitted to people by the rat flea, most common during the warm summer months. Rat bite fever. You might have heard of cat bite fever or cat scratch fever, but rat bite fever is caused by the bite or scratch of a rodent.
Wait a minute. Cat scratch fever, that's not just a song? There's like really a thing?
Oh, absolutely.
I thought it was just cat scratch fever. Isn't that a song?
Bum, bum, bum. Well, I don't know, but we could always start composing.
There we go. Oh, you rock. Okay. I had no idea, Dr. Carol. Oh, yes. What a dark horse you are. Many, many sides to Dr. Carol, everybody. Pick up on All Balls Pet Talk. We'll be selling it soon once we make it.
So for those of you that might be wondering about cat scratch fever, that is a reaction in people after they're scratched primarily by a cat. It can cause a pretty serious infection with enlarged lymph nodes, et cetera, that will cause you to go to the doctor. And if you get bitten by a cat, remember cats carry a nasty bacteria called Pseudomonas in their mouth. And that causes a very, very, very nasty infection in a person. And remember that Pseudomonas is the bacteria that also caused the plague transmitted at that time. The bacteria was being transmitted through rats, through their saliva, feces, and droppings.
Okay, hang on here. I got to stop you here. I've got this kitten. Well, it's not really a kitten. It's a year and a half old, but it acts like a kitten. And he loves to love bite. And he loves to run his teeth along and sort of hold your finger with his teeth. It's lovely. It's not offensive or aggressive. Am I in danger of, or are my kids in danger of getting some kind of cat scratch fever from his play?
You know, just you have to differentiate play from a little bit kind of more aggressive play where you actually do get scratched or those sharp little teeth actually do penetrate your skin. And just in that scenario that you just described, Deb, kind of just like with a dog or a little puppy, you need to reinforce from day one that it's not okay to mouth your owner. It's not okay to play bite. It's not okay to play scratch, because when you're little, all those things are fun. But when you get bigger, then not only are they not fun, but they do carry potential health hazards, such as Pseudomonas and having to go to the doctor because of a scratch or a bite from your cat. So again,
you know, he's got it exactly. He straddles that line exactly. Where he knows exactly where I would call him on it and where it's still lovey. And it, you're right, he doesn't break the skin. He's, you know, he's ever so careful. So I guess you're right. We did teach him. But maybe we should have taught him never instead of do it softly. Uh-oh, we're running out of time, Dr. Carol. I know you like to give your contact number and your website, so you don't have to be in the same city as Dr. Carol to get her advice. Dr. Carol, do you want to give that out?
Absolutely. We welcome all kinds of questions and offer advice and consultations for dog and cat owners all over the country. You can call us toll-free at 1-866-DR-CAROL, and that's 866-372-2765. You can also visit us online at carolonpets.com.
Well, stay tuned, everybody. We'll have Dr. Carol on again next week. And right now we're going to commercial, and then we'll be back with something called Smart Silk for Pets with Yair Altman. So stay tuned. It's Deb Wolf on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Thanks, Dr. Carol.
Thank you, Deb. And we look forward to talking back with you next week to your All Paws Pet Talk loving listeners.
There you go. All right, Dr. Carol, thank you. Send us your questions, everybody, for Dr. Carol.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And
you know that.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo, to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now, introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
We're back on Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And oh yeah, it's smart today. Put on your thinking cap if you want to go on a holiday, but you don't want to just read some silly romance novel on the beach. But you want to see someplace exotic, and you want to eat good food, and you want to do something smart, something worthy, something good for animals, maybe my next guest, Angela Kerslake, can help you out with that. What do you think, Angela?
I think you're right.
So what did you do? You went on a vacation like no other, right?
That is correct. What I did a few years ago is I went to Guatemala for my first trip there. And I went for the purposes of volunteering at a dog and cat shelter, and I did so for a couple of weeks, came back home and could not get the shelter and all of the wonderful animals there out of my mind. So as a result, of course, I have gone back on average a couple of times every year since to volunteer at the shelter. So it's near and dear to my heart.
Well, you know, I went to a fundraiser. That's how you and I met, fundraiser
right.
for your organization. And there was a DVD playing showing all these animals. And
right.
I couldn't get over how nice the dogs were to each other in these huge groups that even when the handler was coming through and pouring kibble into bowl after bowl after bowl, there was
right.
no fighting. It was unbelievable.
It is surprising, isn't it, that with that many animals, because at the shelter – right now, I think they have in excess of 300 dogs and in excess of 100 cats. And you would think that with especially all of those dogs, you would think there would be a lot of infighting, especially fighting over food. But amazingly enough, they all get along pretty well. That they're not housed, of course, all together. They're typically housed about five dogs to an individual enclosure. But they do come out of the enclosures twice a day for their hourly run or walk. And so they do have some interaction with other dogs at the shelter. And I know it's very surprising. It's as though they know that they are lucky to be there and they're thankful and grateful for being so. And they just all seem to get along.
Well, you know what? I tell people this about dogs in general, that and cats too, but even more so with dogs, that if you buy a puppy, you know, a silver spoon puppy, and I sell puppies, I know what that's about, you know, mm-hmm. You can see some at Camp Good Dog on Facebook right now, some of my newborn puppies. If you buy a puppy, you get to raise it, you get to be its a human mom, so to speak, and teach it all the things you get to teach it. But if you rescue a dog, you get gratitude. The sun rises and sets on your head to that dog. Every day it's grateful, and it's trying to pay you back, trying to pay you back, trying to pay you back. So it's a completely more adult relationship. It is not your baby. You maybe are its baby in a way. So I get where you're coming from. These dogs do look grateful. They really do.
And they know when I truly believe that when you do adopt an animal from a shelter such as this, they know that effectively you have rescued them, and they truly are, I think, indebted to you and grateful to you for the rest of their life. I mean, that certainly is my experience with the three that I ended up adopting from the shelter and bringing back to Canada.
So, so you're talking about Canada. So you're not Guatemalan, and you're not a vet tech or a veterinary nurse. So can you tell people, like, how did this fall into your lap, or how did you fall into their lap?
Well, I've always been an animal lover. I've always had had pets, cats, dogs, birds. And unfortunately, I don't work in the animal field. I probably, in hindsight, should have gone into that area, but I didn't. But it doesn't mean, of course, that I have ever stopped loving animals. And so what I've done in the past on occasion is I've gone with one of my girlfriends to volunteer on a volunteer holiday. And on this one occasion, we came across the Animal Aware Guatemala website and thought, well, that sounds interesting. Let's give that a try. And that's what led to my first trip over there. So it's just something that I now love doing, and it's a wonderful experience for a number of reasons. Number one, of course, you know that you're doing so much good for the short time that you're able to be there. And it's also a really enjoyable trip in terms of you get a lot of exercise, as you can well imagine, because the shelter is situated on 10 acres on the side of a mountain. So you're outside every day and exercising, walking, running, and so on. So it's a very healthy vacation, and physically and also mentally and emotionally, because I come back home after being over there for 1 or 2 or 3 weeks, and I feel so de-stressed.
Well, you're leaving a courtroom and that kind of work life, right? So this is quite a difference.
Exactly. As my regular job, as you just alluded to, is I'm a lawyer, and so it's important for me, as it is for most people, to get away from their regular job and have a vacation, and this is certainly my preferred type of vacation right now anyways, and I think a lot of people, well, especially any animal lovers, would really get a lot out of a similar volunteer trip. And it's so easy to do. From Canada to fly down to Guatemala, it really isn't that costly. And once you're there, it's really inexpensive to stay in Guatemala. You can either stay at the shelter. They do have some volunteer accommodation, and they charge you a mere $5 a day, which, of course, is a mere pittance.
That's not even your big, venti, fancy coffee, really.
No, exactly. Or if you prefer to stay just down the road, there's a really nice, safe, clean hotel, and they were charging $25 a night, and there's a restaurant right next door. So either way you go, it is not expensive once you get there. And you're close to the town of Antigua, so you can get away from the shelter when you need a shopping break, or you know, if you want to go into the town of Antigua to do some sightseeing. So you can mix it up, so to speak, and make it part voluntary.
So you get a vacation.
Exactly.
And, okay, now if people don't want to travel this way, but they do want to check it out, mm-hmm. can you give out the website, the .com, and how else they can help?
Okay. Anyone who is interested, if they go to animalaware.org, all of the information about the shelter is there. And there are so many different ways that one can assist the shelter, not only by going over there and physically volunteering, but you can go online and sponsor one of the animals there for $20 a month. That covers all of the animals' food, their vet services, flea medication, and so on. They also, of course, you can go online and just make whatever one-time donation you'd like to. And I should say that all of the monies that go to the shelter go to help the animals. The couple who run the shelter, they do not take any monies for themselves. They donate all of their time to run the shelter. And
you get a lot for your money. I know you were explaining this to me that you know, an animal is an animal anywhere in the world if it's homeless and needs something. But in Guatemala, a few dollars goes a lot longer, a lot further than
it
here.
It does. It does. I can give you a couple of examples. For example,
well, we're actually running out of time, Angela, but I would love one example as quick as you can.
Sure. For example, if you send over $50, that pays the salary of one dog walker for a whole week.
Wow.
So it's amazing how far your money does go over there, but they still desperately need it.
Oh my goodness, we've got to go. Everybody, come back to us on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, Smart Animal Talk next week. Be good to your animals. Thanks, Angela.
And anytime you're near.